Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can confess freely what we believe in you. And so we pray now as we open your word together that you will speak into our hearts to give us greater understanding. But more than that, Lord, a greater love and devotion to you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Please, yeah. I love the big Bible, but you never have room for your notes if you have it on here. So I've got the little one. I was struck recently when we were looking after my eldest granddaughter, who's two, how alike she is to my daughter, her mother, Anna, when she was the same age. And then as I was looking at her and watching her run across the playground, play park, I had a picture of my own mother there as well, because she looks like my mother did as well. Family likeness. We often see it, don't we? And when we're related by blood, we can see it. Sometimes you know who somebody is before you've even met their father or whatever. Well, when we look at the family likeness with Jesus and his father, we see it even in greater measure. In fact, Jesus said, if you see me, you have seen the Father. So more than just a likeness. And in that reading we had from Hebrews, and you might want to just open it at that page, 234 in the New Testament, it says, the exact imprint of God's very being. And in the Nicene Creed, which of course we've just confessed together, it says, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. So in Hebrews chapter 1, we see that it tells us about the divinity of Jesus. It says at the beginning there, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's the ultimate revelation of God. Verse 2, in these last days he's spoken to us by a son. It tells us that he's also the creator, so he was there at the beginning, the creator of the worlds. And he continues that work by sustaining all things in verse 3 by his powerful word. It tells us too that he was the one who made purification for our sins, but then it says he sat down. Why did he sit down? As God, at the right hand of the majesty on high. Fully God, one being with the Father. In just those few verses that we had read, Paul says so much about the fact that Jesus is fully God. And this is the theme of the whole chapter 1 in Hebrews, and chapter 2 of Hebrews goes on to talk about the humanity of Jesus, the identity of who he is, because it is so important. But Jesus himself knew about this. He didn't have his crisis about his identity like so many have today. I was watching the other day, I had a very late lunch, and I put the television on while I was eating my sandwich, and it was that program, Who Do You Think You Are? Don't ask me who it was now, because I can't remember. But what struck me was that when they revealed something, at one point, I think it was some ancestor had been in the poorhouse, who were very upset about this. And then when they revealed that actually, somebody way back, somebody French, was actually a lord or whatever, but he was right-hand person of the king. Oh, I was delighted. And I thought, you know, how unstable almost his identity was, and how he was being rocked from side to side because of the revelations that were made. But Jesus had no such identity crisis. He was very clear about his divine nature. In fact, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He depended on nothing outside of himself for life. He knew about things that not yet happened. He knew about his own death. In Matthew 16, that he was going to be killed, he was suffering, be killed, but he would be raised on the third day. He demonstrated his divine nature when we see his power over creation, the storm where he stills the wind and the waves. And when he over death, he raised Lazarus back to life. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. I am, of course, is the words used in the Old Testament as well as Jesus using them to denote God, God the Father. So he never began to exist and he never ceases to exist. Everything God is, Jesus is. He himself said it and he demonstrated it in his life. And there are other passages, of course, too, apart from what Jesus himself said. Thomas acknowledged, poor Thomas that we call Doubting Thomas, when he saw him when he'd risen from the dead, my Lord and my God. Paul's letter to Titus, he talks about our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus has always been God. There was no time when he wasn't God. He's fully divine. But then in our gospel reading, we see that he became human. This doesn't mean that he gave up his divinity. He is always fully God. But we are told in our New Testament reading from Matthew, he was born as a baby with a human mother, though it was the work of the Holy Spirit. He had human emotions. He cried at the death of Lazarus. He was amazed at the centurion's faith. He had a full range of human experience, but without sin. And the virgin birth is of crucial importance to us because he was without sin. And it shows us that Jesus is a fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, of which there are hundreds. And it confirms the authenticity and integrity of the Bible. It confirms the identity of Christ, that he was human and divine. And it shows the purpose and sovereignty of God, who is working out his plan of salvation. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working together in their plan of salvation for mankind. Jesus was fully human. Jesus was fully divine. Each nature is full and complete. The creed that we've just said, the Nicene Creed, talks of the incarnation from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. Incarnation, that word comes from the Latin, to take on flesh. And as it says in Colossians, all the fullness of the deity dwelt in bodily form. In the Council of Chalcedon in 451, as they were trying to finalize the creeds, this was a very significant time because they affirmed that the deity and humanity of Christ remain distinct and yet constitute the one person of Jesus Christ. And it was very important at that time because there were those Arius and who believed in the full deity of Christ but not in the humanity of Christ, a bit like the Jehovah's Witnesses. And there was those like Apollinarius who believed in the humanity of Christ but not the deity, a bit like Christian Scientists. And there were others. And so, at this council, when they met together and they searched the scriptures, they affirmed that the deity and the humanity of Christ remain distinct and yet constitute the one person of Jesus Christ. And it's very significant for us. The humanity of Jesus is very significant for us today. You see, God put humanity over creation to rule over, but what a mess they made of it. And Jesus came to restore what God had intended. Jesus as the new Adam, as one of us, could do that. Jesus, as one of us, died as our representative and became a merciful, faithful high priest, sinless, so able to make propitiation for our sins. And as our brother, he enables us to become part of God's family. And because he had that whole breadth of human experience, he can help us when we struggle with sin. Hebrews 2:18, it says, although sinless, because he was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. He can relate to you and me. It always helps, doesn't it, if we're perhaps going through a crisis ourselves, a difficult situation, that somebody who's been there before us can sit alongside us and empathize with us. And Jesus can do just that, better than anyone else. His identity is that he is fully God and fully human. Is it easy to understand? No. But by God's power and by his Holy Spirit, in faith, we believe what God has revealed to us. I like the fact that Christmas carols, I think some of the words of Christmas carols are some of the best ever in the songs that we sing. And of course, we're always reminded when we sing of what it said in our gospel reading, that Jesus means he will save his people from their sins. He was to be given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. His people, he was one of us. And yet, it also says in that gospel reading, he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. We sang that in our last hymn. So he is Jesus, human, able to save because he is one of us. Emmanuel, God is with us, fully God and fully human. So how does that affect us in our life today, tomorrow, and the weeks ahead? If Jesus is fully God, we can't just like him or admire him. We need to kneel before him and worship him. We need to give him the reverence and the devotion that he is due. We need to put Jesus at the center of our lives. Do you ever live a day and think, wow, I didn't think about God today? It's easy to do, isn't it? We have something early in the morning. We set off, we do our own thing, never giving God a thought. That shouldn't be the way. We know who Jesus is, and so we should come to him first and foremost. The beginning of each day that he has given us new life. We wake up. We thank God that we have another day to live for him. We need to put him at the center of all that we are and all that we do. And as we think on the incarnation, that he became fully human, that is just amazing. We should marvel at God's plan of salvation. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working together a plan of salvation to redeem you and me. to bring us into relationship with him. Do we marvel at what God does? Do we marvel at his love for us? And because he is fully God and fully human, we have everything that we need in Jesus. He is our all, as one of the hymns says it. He truly is, because he can meet our every need. And then, of course, because he became human, he can help us when we call upon him. He will come to our aid. He can empathize with us like no one else. But more than that, he has the riches of God to bless us with, to help us with. He is a God who is able. Wow. Jesus, our friend, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. May each day we remember that and put him at the center of our lives. And yet at the same time, remembering that we can call upon him as our friend and Savior. Amen.